Well, so welcome to episode 343 of the PS4 Blackcast. I am JCM. With us this week is Isley.
Yo.
And Messiah.
Hello.
And we're all here. Of course, it's a after all the big news stuff, it's kind of a quiet week considering it's right before Christmas. But we got some news and we can talk about the deals, some big deals going on right now, and then cover any games we've been playing. But let's first jump into it. One of the big pieces I saw was that so we all know that there was a issue with the author of the Witcher novels. Names, I keep wanting to say like Andrzej Sapkowski, where I guess like the previous agreement they made, he really bid the agreement essentially. Where
he basically sold the rights to The Witcher for like $100,000 or something because he didn't think that it would go anywhere and he had no faith in his own series.
Right, yeah, and then I think it was a small amount of money too. I could have swore CD Projekt Red said they gave him a little bit extra.
He wanted a lump sum, basically. Like, instead of any rights to profits based on the games, he wanted a straight-up lump sum right at the start. And the lump sum he asked for was something stupid, like $100,000.
Right.
So they were basically like, you sure, bro? You just bought like $100,000 straight up right now?
But and I was like,
yeah, the game sucks.
But I could have sworn that they gave him some, on top of that, they also gave him a little bit of extra, like, because they knew how much under, but I could have, it was like an old article, this is back when it was originally coming up, I might be misremembering stuff, but they've reached a new agreement, but that's non-disclosure, so they can't discuss any of it, but they have come to a new agreement on the 20th, so that's all good. Moving on, there is that, of course, Deadshot movie that's coming out with Vin Diesel, and there is going to be a video game based on it. So Valiant Comics, who is working on the movie, is going to be teaming up with Blowfish Studios to create the adaptation of the game, or of the movie. So anybody who's excited about the film, I guess you'll have a game come out. I'm not familiar with Blowfish Studios, but they don't list anything of they've done in this article, unfortunately, so that's not very helpful. And then we got some news on the Resident Evil 3 remake. One of the producers from Capcom, two of the producers, were talking about how there was going to be some more tweaks to this remake versus what they did with Resident Evil 2, which kind of makes sense because I guess the way 3 played out, like, you could have a little more leeway to tweak stuff in that game. They want to flesh out some more characters as well, make Dario Rosso have a bigger role in the game than he did in the original. There's this side character that's at the beginning of the game that helps out Jill, who I totally forgot about because it's so inconsequential, this kid. But yeah, they said there's definitely going to be some more tweaks, which is fine. Like, go ahead. Do what you need to do to make it all fit together. But yeah, the game, they confirmed, I guess they felt they need to confirm that the Hunter Beta enemy would be in the game, but they'd be modified or reimagined. I don't know why people would be like, hey, is the Hunter Beta going to be in there? It's my favorite enemy. And then they did say the game has, how do they word it here? They say it's the master ROM of the game is complete. I've never heard that term used. And it's they're saying it's basically 90% done, and they're just making some final adjustments, like little tweaks and whatnot. So it's definitely going to still hit its April 3rd, 2020 release date, which is good to see. And then the last bit of news is that Sony announced a attachment for your controller, which gives the DualShock 4 two back buttons. It plugs underneath the controller where they have the headphone jack and that other jack that I've never seen used on anything ever.
What is it?
I have no idea.
Wasn't there like a keyboard or something? You know,
like a bottom keyboard.
Yeah, or didn't the like earpiece headset that originally came with it use that?
I don't know, because that was only a one ear headphone.
Like earbud. It was just like a microphone with an earbud.
I don't think it did, because I think you can use the headphone jack with the mic as well. I mean, even the headphone logo has a microphone on it on the controller. But
I honestly don't think I ever noticed that was there. I think I've ignored it like the entire time.
Yeah, because I don't know what they expected to go in there to be Yeah, who knows? But yeah, so it'll plug into that, and it has a two pretty big, and they're not paddles; they're actually buttons, but they look like paddles initially. And it looks like they'll fit pretty well in the back. I kind of the way I hold my control, like the my biggest concern was that they have this like OLED screen on the back, which tells you like which profile you're on, because they have like three or four programmable profiles, and you tap it to changes one. It has like these little icons that show you. It's but it's going to be pretty low powered if it's OLED, because that doesn't really use a whole lot of power. And but I thought it would be like, oh, it's going to be kind of obnoxious because it's going to be right in the center. But the way I held my controller, I'll be fine. But I like that they're doing this attachment versus just, you know, obviously there's these elite controllers made by, you know, Astro Gaming just released one. There's the, of course, the oh, I'm totally blanking on the name now. But there's like other controllers out there that have these like extra back paddles, but the majority of them are offset sticks. So that's the biggest problem. The Astros aren't. You can customize the stick layout. You can put four sticks on it if you want, which is ridiculous. But
I'm sorry, what?
But yeah, just because they're modular, like each of those, the D-pad, the sticks, and the face buttons are all these modular circular cylinders. Obviously, they're circular if they're cylinders, but they can like pop them out. And like, if you want to have, you know, offset sticks, you can just pop out the D-pad and one of the sticks and replace it. Like, you take off the faceplate, and that's how you do it. But some people are like, I'm going crazy, and they put like four sticks all over the controller. It looks really funny. But yeah, I was really interested in that controller, because that one on the back versus like the I'm still totally blanking on the name of the controller that I tried out. I don't know why I can't remember, but like the other controller I tried, I don't like back paddles because they're very sticky, and you have to like, you obviously have to brace with your palm so you can push them in with your fingers, and I don't like that because then it makes me squeeze the controller to push a paddle, which I don't do. I'm very relaxed when I'm holding my controller.
Yeah.
So it just, it's like, if I'm using this in a, like, in, I tried it in Fortnite, because that's when I think when I bought it was when Fortnite was out. I don't think Apex was out by the time I tried it. But yeah, like, it was just Fortnite, because I was playing Fortnite and Assassin's Creed Odyssey. And it's just, I didn't like it. Now, again, I talked about the sax buttons on the controller I liked a lot. They are the buttons that were to the left and right of the L1 and R1 buttons. And those were really good. I like those a lot. They were formed very well to where, even though I by default typically rest my fingers between L1, L2, R1, R2, in that little plastic or that little gap between them.
Wait, what the hell did you use buttons to the left of L1 and R1 for?
Or
I guess not left, but I'm assuming outside of L1 and R1?
Yeah, so like if you were to look where, if you have a PS4 control in front of you, basically like where the seam between the bottom half and the top half of the shell, imagine like a button next to R1 against that seam, but like not all the way out, kind of like a,
I have big hands, and that hits in like the middle of my finger and seems super awkward to push.
Right, but the way they design their controller, it's not, it's different than the DualShock, to where it wasn't like a full button. It was kind of like it was angled to where, like a triangle, or like a doorstop, where on the bottom part of the controller you couldn't hit as much, and it would get up, it would go up as you got closer to R1 or L1. But it didn't stick out too much, and it didn't require a whole lot to push in. And you didn't, like, if you were push R1 and L1, like, you know, obviously your fingers kind of go out a little bit, so you wouldn't accidentally, the way they designed it, you didn't accidentally hit those sax buttons by mistake. But I love them. They were so good, because anything in Assassin's Creed that was on the D-pad, like call your horse or go to the bird, I also did it for, like, so I did the horse call on the left one, and then I did pickup on the right. That way, if I'm running around and I want to, you know, hit triangle to grab the sticks for arrows or the materials, all the ores, I just hit the sax button, so I don't have to take my fingers off the joysticks or the analog sticks. And that's why I like those buttons a lot. And so the video for these DualShock buttons look really good, because they look like you don't have to press them that hard, and they just sit right on the Mac. So I'm like, great. I'm definitely going to try it. It's only $30. Comes out on the 27th of January. Pre-orders are already up. I don't know why you pre-order a thing, but whatever. But yeah, I definitely want to try it out because I feel like if this is their alternative to making their own Elite controller, it's like, okay, I guess you got, because now it's like, I want one. That's why I like the Astro one, because the one on the back of their controller, it's only two instead of four, like the goddamn controller I can't remember that I bought. But they're big, like, square buttons on the Astro controller, and they're actually buttons, not paddles. And I'm like, oh, those seem awesome. And since these are kind of a hybrid of a paddle button, it looks really good. Like, I like it a lot. I'm like, okay, it looks like it's going to press in easy and won't be stiff. But that's just because the nature of the paddles that cause them to, the way the design makes them stiff to press anyways. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it, because I do want extra buttons. Just to, anything that can make me not have to remove off the analog sticks would be great. Like, especially in competitive games, make one like, you know, jump. That way you don't have to, you know, hit X or whatever, and you can actually properly maneuver. Well, that's why, again, going back to the best game ever for parkour, Dying Light, where the jump button was L1. It was not X. It's like, this is so good. Because it just made maneuverability in that game fantastic. And then it's like, man, I wanted, I guess people call it bumper jumping. I think they used it a lot in, I guess, Halo.
Halo. Yeah.
And I've tried
bumper jumpers, and Halo is actually one of the controller setups. It was called bumper jumpers.
Yeah, it's such a good option. Like, I almost want to do it in Apex, but the only reason I don't is because L1 is the ping button. And so it's like, there's this other button that has this great utility in that game, and I don't want to remap that to, you know, a different one. And then, of course, R1's grenade. So it's like, I can't quite do it in that game. But if I had extra buttons, then I could. or take stuff off of L3 and R3, because I don't always like this. Oops, my TV volume's up. No, it's not. That's, oh, it's coming through my headset. But yeah. But I'm looking forward to it. We'll see if they make their own proper thing. But hey, at least you don't have to buy, you know, spend $100 on an Elite controller.
I think they said, unfortunately, that they're not going to make their own pro controller ever, because that's why they've licensed it out. Yeah,
it's tough. Like, there are good ones. Like, if I liked offset sticks, I would have been fine with the other controller. I can't remember. I don't know why. I gotta look it up, because it's gonna drive me crazy not knowing this freaking controller name. Pro controllers for PS4. Scuff Vantage, Scuff. That's what it is.
I said Scuff earlier.
I didn't hear you say it. It's your stuffy nose. but
I will
punch
you.
Yeah, go ahead, do it.
Oh, you heard that now.
Yeah, I heard that. But yeah, I don't like the... Yeah, see, if you look at their paddles, it's just... Because the way the design... The button isn't actually located underneath the paddle. It's... You push the paddle down, which then pushes the middle part of the stick into the button portion, which is why I don't like how rough you have to push it. But if you look at this controller, you can see, I'll send it to you in Discord, you'll see the sax buttons I'm talking about. But I really like those buttons, and I wish they made this controller with it, instead of paddles, just do back buttons and then don't offset the sticks, because I just don't like the sticks like that at all. Because now the force distribution of holding my controller is really weird. It's not symmetrical, it's asymmetrical, and I don't like asymmetry. It's just,
that's the only thing I don't like about the Switch Joy-Cons. I know it makes sense, and when you're holding it, it makes sense, but I don't like it visually. Just put things where they go. And it makes sense for the Switch because of the way you can take out the controllers and hold them, I guess, but looking at it, it'd be sad.
And also, they're like, at least in those cases, like, it's a much smaller controllers. And then I feel like in that case, my hands are also farther apart if I have it, you know, if on the edges of the Switch. And I'm kind of okay in, like, games I'll play in that. Like, I might just be like, oh, I'll use the D-pad. You know, well, I don't play, like, a ton of games on there. But it's like, oh, I can still just use the D-pad because I'm playing, you know, maybe Mario Maker or whatever.
I'm also a D-pad clawer. So it's like, I like having the D-pad up where I can hit it with my index finger.
Mm-hmm.
And not having that on the Switch drives me crazy.
Really? You do the D-pad claw?
Whoa. I do the claw. I'm a D-pad claw. And I claw the face buttons sometimes too, but it's a lot easier to let go of like the camera button than the moving button. Especially, I really got in the habit of it playing like Bloodborne and Dark Souls and stuff, so I can move around while I'm flipping through my inventory and stuff. So yeah, I'm a D-pad clawer.
Flashbang did that a lot, especially during Last of Us. It's really funny. But yeah, looking forward to this attachment. Definitely want to pick it up. I'm curious. Like I said, I can't imagine the screen in the back should drain too much. It's just kind of weird that it'd be a screen instead of just like a simple light that you could just like, it's got like three lights, 1, 2, 3 for each profile. And then you just, it changes depending on which one you click it to. But cause I think that's how they did it on the Vantage as well. I don't recall, but I do like that. I'm hoping you can change them on the fly, because on the Vantage that was nice, because you can just change the buttons on the fly. You just flip over to like program and then you just hold the one button that you want to remap and then just hit one of the paddles and then you let go and it's like, then you go, okay, turn remap off and now you're done. You're remapped. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. But other than that, not much else going on in news. Try to dig it up. Yeah, not really anything. But there are a lot of deals going on right now. The end of the year deal is going to probably be, hopefully I get this podcast up early. I got the last one up a little late, but that ends on the 23rd. But the holiday sale ends on the 5th of January. So that one goes for 3 weeks. And there's a lot of stuff in here. A lot of repeats because of things I already purchased on the Game Awards sale. But you can get Call of Duty's 34% off. That's Modern Warfare, of course. And then you can get Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order 70% off. Death Stranding is, 33% off. It was, I think, 50% off on Amazon the other day.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, for whatever
reason. I wish I bought it for 50% off.
Did you buy it? Did you get it for, or did you buy it, or did you just...
No, I haven't bought it, but I'm searching Amazon right now. Oh, it is $34 on Amazon. So, almost 50% off.
Yeah. Spider-Man Game of the Year Edition is 50% off. Outer Worlds is discounted. A ton of discounts in it, because Outer Worlds 25%. Let's see, what else is some big ones on here? Resident Evil 2 is discounted. God of War. Of course, God of War is already a PlayStation hit, so I think it's... The discount's only like a couple bucks, so it's like 15. Civ 6 is discounted by 35%. And I'm like, man, I gotta jump on that because I still want to play on the PS4. Days Gone, discounted. That's 50% off as well. But Red Dead 2, Ultimate Edition, Control, Sekiro, Mortal Kombat 11, Borderlands 3, tons of... damn... You could tell this game's not selling well because it's 67% off, and that's Ghost Recon Breakpoint. It's $20.
Yikes. Whoops.
Man. Star Wars Battlefront 2 is only $12.50, and they just did a big update for Rise of the Skywalker. Mm-hmm. And from what I've heard, I think they re-reviewed it recently on IGN and gave it like an 8.8. Based on all like the updates they did to the game and, you know, fixing their microtransaction garbage, like it's apparently like a really good game now. But I don't know what the player base count is, because like other games used to have that, like you can go to like a Battlefield 3 stats, Battlefield 4 stats, Battlefield 1 stats, and you can see the player count on each platform. And PS4 was always the highest. But you can't see that for Battlefront. And like I'd be tempted to pick up, because I remember playing the beta. I was like, oh, listen, because you can play it in third and first person. I was like, this feels like it'd be a fun game just to hop in and play a couple matches in. But, again, I don't know what the player count is. Because, like, if you look at something like Titanfall 2 was just on, PlayStation Plus, I think. And the multiplayer for that, like, instantly shot up because everybody started playing it because they got it for free. But, yeah, I'm tempted to get that Battlefront just to try it. Oh, Crash Team Racing's on sale too. That's 40% off. I should pick that up.
Oh, I need that. That and Jedi. I think I'm gonna grab that.
It's $23.99. Which are you getting on the Switch though?
I don't know. I'd be fine with both because I want to get Spyro on the Switch too. So I don't know yet.
You should do Crash on PS4 and then I'll get it and we can all play Crash.
Oh yeah.
I just checked
the console that I have Death friends Stranding
on. Is sold out for the next month and a half.
On Amazon. They don't do a digital just, for their sale?
No. Oh, just in case you wanted to get Death Stranding or Sekiro for your sale. Both of them are sold out until the end of January.
Nice.
Rip.
Yeah. Zaya, you just need to play more PS4 games, okay?
I love my Switch, though. Because I can take it with me to work.
This is true.
I mean, you can take your PS4 with you to work, too.
No.
Well, I'll give you my Vita and then you can just remote play. No.
Yeah, but, remote play is a thing, remember?
Okay, but this bitch doesn't have a Vita, so...
I think you can remote play on PC now, can't you?
Yeah, my computer at work cannot do that.
That would be so cool.
It barely can you actually Word. Do that?
Yeah, it PC remote play work because they people joked about, oh, you can play God of War's available on PC now because God of War came to PlayStation now, and that's also on PC.
Does that actually work as like a remote play, or does it have to be on the same network? Like, if you had your PS4 in one room and somebody was using the TV, you could like play on your computer or something.
Yeah, but you have to be, you just have to be connected to the internet on the console that you're. Kind of like Steam remote play works the same way. Like the device that's, you know, streaming it has to be on connected online. So you have to be able to ping it. I used to do remote play way back in the day for a little bit. I did a 14 on remote play. And then I did, what else did I do? I can't remember what else, but I messed around on 14 with remote play. It was a little laggy back then because that was, you know, way back in the day, but it was fine at 14, just farming. I was like, I don't want to get out of bed. I'm just going to farm on 14 because my PS4 was in the living room. But yeah, tons of deals going on right now. Definitely hop on all those. If you do pick up Crash, let me know and I'll pick it up as well because, like I said, the sale ends on the 5th. The deal I jumped on the other day, it was like $133. I got Modern Warfare, Mortal Kombat, Subnautica, Man of Medan. What else did I get? I gotta go back to the menu. I'm forgetting some. Devil May Cry 5. Yeah, so I picked up 5 games, for $133.
And now you can get those 5 games $10 cheaper.
Yeah, I could've, if I waited, because the other ones are still on sale, it's like, I could've got, could've saved 12 extra dollars. So dumb. It's like, I don't know why you do that. Whatever. I don't care. It's just $12. But it was really stupid. But yeah, I haven't played Mortal Kombat yet or Man of Dan or Devil May Cry 5. They're installed. I had to delete some space because, man, Modern Warfare took up a lot of space. I was like, oof. Had all these different, you know, install packages. I'm like, okay, whatever. But yeah, good deals. Hop on those. And then, other than that, especially it for the news and deals, and I don't think there's any new releases, so I don't think anything comes out this late in December, unless it's like a small game or something on Nintendo, I guess.
Yeah, probably a lot of like indie games and stuff like that.
There's no good games until the end of April now. We're doomed. Doomed!
Well, doesn't Doom come out before end of April?
Yeah, there's like a ton of shit coming out in March.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. Shut January, up.
February, March.
I meant March.
yeah, we'll go ahead and just jump into what we've been playing. What have you been playing,
Zai? Nothing new.
Nothing?
Nothing new. Anyway, picking away at Pokemon, playing Farm Together, and...
What the fuck is Farm Together?
It's a farming game for Switch. I think it's also on PC and PS4 and Xbox. It's just a farming game, and you can play with other people if you want to or not. I don't, because I don't want to.
You don't like other people. Yeah, I get it.
I don't like people. I just got my little farm. Well, it's not like a Stardew Valley kind of thing where you have like stamina and it's like by days. It's by real time. So it changes seasons every like 20 minutes or something like that. And then your crops have like a specific time that it takes them to grow, and you can make it go faster with like watering and sprinkling and stuff like that. So it's not like there's a lot of like downtime stuff, especially when you accidentally buy too much furniture for your house and you have no money to do things. I bought a house and I bought furniture, and then I had no money to do anything else with them.
So oh my god, it's a real life simulator.
Yeah.
Buy a house and furniture and have no money left.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to wait for your crops to grow, and sometimes you accidentally plant a crop that takes 2 days to grow, and you're like, "Welp, I guess I'll wait." But I do that. I like take care of my farm, and then I go play Pokemon, and then when I'm frustrated with that, I go back and take care of my farm, and that's pretty much what I've been doing, because like work and holiday shit is exhausting, so I just want to sit in my comfy new chair and farm my farm.
Nice. Just kind of let farm done.
Duck. Mm-hmm.
I thought you guys were, for some reason, I thought you guys were also playing Stardew Valley. I don't know why.
We were, yeah. Okay. Because we did the new update stuff. We just haven't had time to like sit down and play it. So we probably won't until next weekend. Maybe we'll play it again.
There you go. Does that have online multiplayer or just?
Yeah, it's online multiplayer. There's a LAN mode you can do, but we just do the online multiplayer. It's only four, I think. And the part of the big update that they did was they made it so that instead of having combined like farm income, everybody can have their own money and income and stuff like that, so you can like choose to be a big cooperative farm, or you can do the new map where it's kind of sectioned off a little bit and everybody can have their own little individual farms if you want to do that.
So it's like a prenuptial agreement
pretty much. Yeah.
I'm only gonna play this game if you sign this.
Uh-huh.
Whatever I brought into this game is mine when we leave. But yeah, I saw for some reason I don't know if it was on Twitter or what, but I saw like it was like shortly after you said you were playing that again or whatever. I saw other people like posting that they're playing Stardew Valley. I was like, I guess, was there an update? What's going on? Like, everybody's suddenly mm-hmm. playing.
There was the big PC update was the weekend we started playing again, and I think it just hit consoles a few days after that or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so yeah, that's another update that did happen. I don't think I mentioned it last week. I might have, but the Bedrock edition, I probably mentioned, but the Bedrock edition of Minecraft came to PS4. So now that's on par with all the other versions of Minecraft, and crossplay is there as well. You have to create a Microsoft account to do crossplay, but that's fine. It's easy to do. Mm-hmm. Plus, you get access to the store, and you can download like user generated content, all that stuff. but yeah, they did some nice updates to where you can do all like the shaders. That was nice to see, since I played right before that patch, and that patch came out, and I could see like all the minor changes they did. But don't like the crafting changes, because like and there's a button on the PS4. It was like, if I want to know what something is, like I can look in the book, like, oh, make, you know, this thing, and I'm like, hit square to find out what it is. So it goes and it tells me about it. None of that in the Bedrock edition. I have no idea what the hell anything is.
Oh, weird.
Like, what? And I wish there was a sort. There's no sorting.
You gotta get on those PC mods.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem. It's like the people I watch are playing like Thaumcraft and like every other mod on PC. I'm like, that looks, see, that's what I want. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's not quite there with Minecraft. Like, it's okay. It's enough. But what about you, Isley? What have you been playing?
Well, I just got back from my holidays. So, of course, I decided to buy a bunch of new games instead of finishing the ones I have. So I purchased the BioShock Collection, which I guess I didn't purchase the other time around because it was like $10 or something. So I have all the BioShock games for $10, and I'm playing Dragon's Dogma at the moment, but we'll be playing BioShock immediately after.
There you go.
Fun.
I saw that. It was on sale a while ago.
It was
ago.
Like 10 or 15 bucks for all three of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought about maybe getting it and replaying Infinite, but probably won't.
Infinite was your favorite dose? Interesting.
Well, I mean, I the first one was fine, but, like, the problem was, too, was that, like, had I played that back when it was, like, you know, the big thing, but it took so long to come to PS4, and I never played it when it first did. I didn't play it until Infinite came out, because Infinite came bundled with Bioshock 1. So I just burned through Bioshock 1. I just put on easy and just played through the whole thing. Like I said, I like the story and the twist and all that, but it was like I was playing it to get through it to get to Infinite. And I definitely enjoyed the fighting in Infinite more. But
well, yeah, I mean, the first game was almost like a horror game at times.
Yeah, Circus of Values. Yeah, it was okay. Like I said, I didn't mind. Like I said, I probably would have enjoyed it more if I played it not trying to rush through it, and if I had played it years earlier. But yeah, of the two, if I was to replay them, I'd probably just replay Infinite. But yeah, what else did you pick up? You said you picked up a bunch of stuff. Was that the only thing?
Oh, so I picked up that. I picked up Goose Game, which.
Yeah, Goose Game.
Goose Game, indeed. We will be discussing that, Zaya. Don't worry, I have not forgotten about you. So yeah, I picked up Untitled Goose Game. I don't even know if I'm gonna like it. I pretty much just bought it for the memes. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty okay with that, actually.
You'll love it. It's fun.
Yeah, it seems like a puzzle game.
And then I picked up Subnautica because you were talking about it.
Oh, good job.
Is that a good job or?
Well, I'll get into it when I talk about what I'm playing.
Okay. Well, what have you been playing, JCM?
Well, are you done telling me what you bought?
Yeah, I bought three games. Well, I bought five games, bundled in three.
Well, there you go. We both bought five games. Yeah, I knew that also the Steam summer sale was going on because I have stuff on my wish list that I don't know why it's there. It's just still there. Like the original Divinity, I threw in there because I thought it would come to Mac before it came to consoles. And I still have Oxygen Not Included, which I need to buy because I want to play that game still. And something else. That Lie game with the actors.
That Lie game?
Yeah. Man, what's that Lie game called? I gotta open up Steam now. It's like a... Well, because did you ever play Her Story?
Nope.
Oh, that was game. The real-life video game, right?
Yeah, where it had the interviews and you were trying to solve it and you search key terms, which would ping the computer database to find other videos with terms related to that, and that's how you piece together the story. It's like a two-hour game. Awesome game. Awesome concept. I loved it a lot. But there... I keep typing my password wrong. But there was another game that's very similar to that came out, which got, like, tons of good reviews across the board. I think, like, 90s, 100s. Telling Lies. That's what it's called.
Actual Lie game.
Yeah. It's like you watch... I think it's, like, the same concept. Like, you watch these interviews of these people. See, Four Private Lives... One Big Lie, Search Through the Secretly Recorded Video Conversations to Discover the Truth, the successor to the... Yeah, so it's the sequel to Her Story. Not like a direct sequel, but like a spiritual successor. It's by Sam Barlow and Fierce Be Limited, published by Annapurna. But yeah, because I really liked Her Story, and I like this. It looks like you're getting... It's like webcam footage. Like, it's like the computer's recording them.
Yes.
And I really want to play it because I like that. I love that concept in Her Story of trying to figure out who's lying, who's telling the truth, piecing together the story. And I like that idea here. And it's only $15. It's on sale right now. But, yeah, I got the email. It's like, everything in your wish list is on sale. I'm like, must be a Steam summer sale because Divinity's on sale. Auction on food is on sale.
12 things on your wish list are on sale.
Yeah. I should just take Divinity out of my wish list because I don't need it there. But I should get Auction Not Included at some point because I really want to play that. I wish that game was on PS4. Oh, well. But yeah, I have been playing, hopping into Apex because I got the winter event going on, which I like. The LTM they have is really fun. It's like very small section of the map with just the train track, but only like a portion where the train goes in the circle around his primary city. And the idea, it's three teams of three, and you're trying to control, it's basically a game of control, and you're controlling the train, and either two other squads get killed, and you by default win that round, and you have to win three rounds to win the whole match, or you just control it for long enough. And like there's redeployment. They also change up, it's very unique, where like instead of scavenging for ammo and weapons, you choose a legend, and each legend every day has a different loadout. So you get a different primary, different secondary with different types of attachments. It's never the same. So like you could have legends you like using, but they could have a loadout you don't want. And so it's kind of cool like that. And then if you die, you can change the legend you are and be someone else. And yeah, it's pretty fun. Definitely, it's unique, very different. And then the main world has, like, of course, Mirage's Holo Day Bash ship that's on the map that you can go to. It's got a bunch of loot on it. And there's a bunch of holiday skins you can unlock that are pretty cool. I was playing that. Played some of the campaign for Modern Warfare. I haven't finished it decent ways through. I definitely like how quickly it moves. It reminds me a lot of the first Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4. But it seems like it moves like much quicker, and you're bouncing around between these locations. Really good looking game too. And those cutscenes, man, look really good. I'm like, man, this tech. But yeah, really nice environments, especially like this one level you're going, like this forest, the trees. They showed it off in like that first teaser for the game. But I'm enjoying that. Haven't finished it yet. Played more of the Assassin's Creed DLC. I finished the first part of the Atlantis. Now I'm in the second part, in Hades. and then I played some more Minecraft with my cousin. And then I started Subnautica, which was probably a bad idea, because Subnautica is giving me more of what I wanted out of Minecraft. And like it's like Minecraft with much more direction and objectives and way more fun, at least for me, and it's a single player experience. I'm still enjoying what we're doing in Minecraft, just messing around, but I'm really enjoying Subnautica. And that the thing is too, like, I know what happens in the story, because I like when it came out way back in like what 2017 was in beta on PC, and I was like, oh well, I'll never get this game because it's on PC and whatever. So I read the wiki because I want to know what the story was, and not that ruins anything, because like I said, it's all about scavenging resources and just exploring. Like if you have like thalassophobia, like don't play this game, obviously. But I'm really enjoying it. Just going around, scanning stuff, getting materials, building things, expanding, exploring a bunch of others. It's like my kind of game. It's very relaxing too, unless you're like in the deep sections and there's these giant fish that are gonna kill you.
Giant monster leviathan thing.
Yeah, like I went like there's this part like this event happens, and then I'm like, all right, let's go to this ship, because I knew like you couldn't go to this thing until after this event. So I go over there and I totally forgot about these giant fish, and I'm like, oh yeah, just me and my little glider thing pulling me along. I got like no protection. All of a sudden I just hear like this, and I'm like, what the hell is that? Oh, get away, get away! And I'm like just trying to swim as fast as I can.
Your little butt sub yet.
I didn't even have the sea mouth. You know, I didn't have that at all. Like I hardly had anything, because I don't think I had the schematics for it. That's the one thing too. It's like there's certain things where I'm like, where's the schematic? Like, because at the same time I'm playing, like I wait till I got a pretty good ways ahead, and then this streamer I watch has his Twitch VODs up on YouTube from when he played it a while ago. So I'm watching him play it while I'm playing it, which can throw me off when he gets attacked, because I'm like, was that fish sound in my game or his game? So I pause his game and I go, okay, no, it's not my game, I'm good. I'm like, because I'm in shallow water, there shouldn't be any giant fish over here. But yeah, so it's fun. But then like I'll see, like, he'll get the schematics for something, I'm like, but I think it, because it also randomly generates the world when you first load in. So I don't think everyone has the exact same starting location. Like, obviously, the minerals and materials will be the same, but I don't think the positioning of all that stuff is. Although, it might be a bit, at least predetermined, like, within a radius around the starting area. Like, okay, within, like, the first 100 meters, the player needs this stuff. And, like, 200. And then, like, by depth. Because there was a point where I was looking for some materials. I'm like, I didn't have, what was it? Lead. And I was like, where the hell do I get lead? Because I when I was watching the streamer play, he had it. I was like, how does he have lead and I don't? So he had this item that I didn't. And I was like, where do I get this thing? And then I found out, I look up like how to get lead in Subnautica. And it's like, oh, go north to the, and they like call it an area. I don't think I actually has a name. They just call it like some, whatever, some, he gives it some name. So I go north and sure enough, it's there. But it's obviously a pretty decent distance away from the starting spot. So I think that those sections might be predetermined, but maybe the resource distribution and certain stuff might be randomized, because even when you load up, like, it says it's loading everything. It also has like a creative mode, I guess, which is weird. I'll have to boot it up. I don't know why I'd have to create it, but I'm playing on survival because, like I said, I like that survival aspect. There's a hardcore one where you get one life. I mean, I haven't died yet, so I guess I should have just played the hardcore mode. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's a lot of fun. Had a moment where it was like, I went somewhere, and then I was outside the seamouth, and I was just in the water. I'm like, I'm gonna go back to, all of a sudden I hear this sound I never heard before. I'm like, what the hell is that? And I look around, and it's nighttime, so like it's pretty dark in the water, and there's like a deep section I'm at, and I look down and I see something I'd never seen before. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that is. I gotta get the hell out of here. Plus my character was like thirsty as hell. It's like the AI is like, find water quickly, and I'm like, I need water, there's no water.
You're like, surrounded by water.
I can't drink it, it's salty. But I was in such a panic, I forgot that the place I was at, there were these plants that give you just eat them and they give you food and water, and I completely spaced out the fact that they could do that. So I was like dying of thirst, and like your health ticks down as you die from thirst, and I'm like 700 meters away from my base that I built, and I'm like, I gotta get back, and like I'm just popping med kits as they get down low, and like I would have been fine had I just eaten some of the plants that were right where I was when I first went thirsty. Like, but I panicked so much from this freaking thing attacking me in the water that I gotta get out of here. It's like, I can't be here anymore.
I gotta go, man. Oh shit, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah. But yeah, because there's some stuff, like when I was watching the streamer players, like we're at like the same point now. Because I tend to just, because of course he's getting help from chat being like, oh, you should do this, or you should go there, or you should listen to the radio. And so I keep just exploring. I have way too many materials. I keep making these storage lockers because space is such a thing. But yeah, then all of a sudden he gets this, I think it's called like this Cyclops thing. It's for the vehicles. And I don't even have it. And I'm like, how did he find the schematics for this? And I haven't found it. So I'm like, clearly there must be something on the seabed I haven't found that I need to scan. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. Like I said, just the exploration, the story unfolding. Like I said, I know the overarching story, but the way it unfolds is fun. It would be a great co-op game, I feel like. But yeah, it's not, because I think it has, let's see, start new game. Yeah, see, they have a creative mode. It's build anything with no constraints, auction, food, pressure, story, and death are disabled. And then there's a, you can also play the main game freedom mode, where it's just no hunger or thirst. But you still have, you can die from, like, you still need resources, and you can die from taking too much damage, but, I'd be interested to see how so the hardcore mode also doesn't give you O2 alerts, because typically the AI is like, 30 seconds, and then when you get down, it's like, go back for oxygen, and you have to, like, swim back up to the surface. But yeah, it's a fun game. I think you'll like it, Isley. I really, I don't know. I don't know if you, I like it a lot. Like I said, the exploration, survival, the building, gathering resources, getting new recipes, that kind of stuff. It's just a lot of, and it's weird too, because the game, the water looks really good and it plays fine when you're in the water, but whenever you get out of the water, sometimes it chugs. And I don't know if it's because there's a much greater draw distance above water plus the surface simulation, but I've had it like chug sometimes when I'm above it. And even the streamer, and he's watching, he's like, it's like the only game where it performs better underwater than it does out of water. but yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, I think I'll enjoy it. I'm looking forward to it. I also want to go back and play No Man's Sky since they added upgrade updates. Mm-hmm. So you can finally get the ship you want and just pay money and upgrade it.
Nice.
So I might be playing Subnautica and No Man's Sky at the same time, which might be a bad idea because they seem sort of similar in terms of like style of game. I might just not have a life, which I guess I'm okay with. That's fine.
That shouldn't be too bad. Yeah, I'm juggling basically this and Minecraft whenever my cousin's on during the weekdays. So it's like they both have, you know, resource gathering. And but like I said, I like that Subnautica has much more of a direction. You have more, like, you know what to do. You have an objective way more than in Minecraft, where it's just like, you know, build a nether portal, fight the ender dragon. But I like that there's more to do here. It's like, oh, there's other survival pods. You can go find out what happened to those people. There's more stuff. There's exploration on these other areas you can get to. It's just a lot. I'd be really curious. Like, it's definitely one of those emergent story kind of games, just like Minecraft, that will be really fun to hear, like, your stories, especially if you get close to death or you get scared by something. I'd share those stories in the podcast. It'd be a lot of fun. But, like, I had one of those in Minecraft where it was very much a signs moment, where, you know, Joaquin Phoenix is watching that handheld camera footage on the news of the alien walking across from the bush to the other side of the building. He's like, oh, I had one of those where I was in my house and I can hear like this Enderman's outside. And so like I close my door, I'm in my house and I like make some food. And then I open my door and then he just walks right across my door. while he's holding this brick of sand, and I'm like, and then I close the door and I like, I panic for a moment. And I'm like, I cut it, but I didn't post it. And
he's like, I got friender, man.
Yeah, he's like, I got my block of sand. Don't look at me. I'm like, why are you walking around the sand, dude? But yeah, that game's a lot of fun too. Especially mainly co-op. I like playing that game co-op. I was like throwing down nether portals just to have them down. And then I got lost in the overworld because I put down the nether portal in the nether. So I popped up in the overworld in some random location. No idea where I was because I lost my original map when I died the first time. And then I guess any map you make after that is just each section, not an overall map, which is really annoying. So then I'm like, I don't have a compass on me. I was like, because I was in the nether, so I don't take my compass. And then I'm like, I don't know where I'm at. And then the freaking phantoms or flying manta rays kept attacking me. I'm like, I'm just going to build into this mountain and wait till sunrise. Because I can't. They're just keep hitting me, and I hate these things. But yeah, that's fun to play co-op. Especially when, like, you hear the person on the other end of the mic's like, oh, God, no! And it's like, so-and-so tried to swim in lava. It's like, nope. I just lost all my stuff.
Fell to death escaping a zombie or some crap like that. You're like, ah, oh, frick.
Yep, exactly. But, yeah, fun games. Like I said, it's a shame that Subnautica's not co-op, because I feel like that would be a lot of fun co-op. But, But yeah, that's basically it. I'm wondering if anything will be, probably nothing else. I mean, if there's nothing next week, it'd probably just be a slow episode. I mean, luckily at least the holidays fall in the middle of the week, so it's not like if they're on the weekends, I'd be like, oh, we'll just skip. So we'll see what happens next week. But maybe just more game stories if Isley plays more than just Dragon's Dogma.
Oh, shush. I mean, I'm probably going to be playing a ton of games considering I had my holiday last week basically, and I'm at work this week, except nobody else is at work this week. So instead of being at work this week, I'm really probably just going to be working from home with nothing to do except respond to the occasional email that comes in, which means I'll be playing video games all day.
Do it.
I'll be following in Zaya's footsteps in regards to playing video games when I should be working.
But she's at work when she plays the Switch.
Yeah, I take
that doesn't really make it better, does it?
I mean, like, I still answer the phone.
I'm still going to be responding to emails.
It's true. I had a couple days this week where I was working from home because it was just better, and I'd be like, have like maybe like at least once it gets, usually once it gets later, like around 2 o'clock, I'd be like, all right, it's getting kind of slow. I caught up on everything I need. I'll just, again, like you do, monitoring emails, and I'll just.
I'm done for today.
Yeah. But all right, and then maybe I'll. I haven't watched much of The Witcher. I've only watched 10 minutes, so I gotta watch that.
I started watching it, and I really want one of you to watch it so I can chat about it, because I have opinions.
Yeah, I'll watch it. I only watched 10 minutes last night, because it was way too late by the time, because I saw Star Wars, so by the time I got home, it was like too late to watch The Witcher.
Can we just acknowledge really quick how bad the first 30 seconds of the show are?
The
first 30 seconds of the show, when I turned it on, I was kind of like, what the fuck is this? it looks so bad.
It's just, yeah. You mean like the CG?
The CG in the first 30 seconds. And it gets better later, but like the first 30 seconds, I was like, Jesus Christ, like this is how you open your new series?
Yeah, there were some parts where like, yeah, the CG, like when they're both out of the water. And it was the wide shot. I was like,
it's like a wide shot, and he gets like flung out of the water, and he just kind of like floats up in the air.
Well, I was just looking at the monster. I wasn't looking at Geralt, but the monster in the wide shot, definitely you could tell like, okay, this is looks like some could have been rendered a little longer. But then some of the other shots, like they look fine, like when he was being held underwater. But I did like that. I guess the part I ended on was that little girl's like, she's all you should go talk to the wizard. He likes objects for his potions. I sold him my dog when it died, mysteriously. And I'm like, you little girl, weirdo, sold your dog for money.
Oh, God. Yeah, you need to watch the show.
Yeah, I mean, I like Geralt so far. I mean, I feel like he does the voice well. Of course, Cal obviously would have done the voice well. And he looks the part. So I'm definitely looking forward to watching more of it.
I will say, I'm honestly surprised at how much I don't mind Henry Cavill as Geralt. Like, I thought that would drive me fucking nuts. And I'm not saying he's the best Geralt of Rivia ever, but it doesn't drive me fucking nuts, at least.
Oh, yeah, I figured it's gotta be pretty easy. I mean, Geralt's very emotionless because he's a witcher, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I figured you just gotta be able to have that, you know, resting witcher face.
Yeah, he just, like, I thought I would hate him, because I don't really love him as an actor. He's pretty okay, though.
Yeah, I like Henry Cavill. I like him in, I mean, I haven't seen him in too much outside of, I guess, Superman and then Mission Impossible. But I like him in Mission Impossible, and I don't mind him as Superman. but I don't know. Oh, Man from U.N.C.L.E., I guess he was in that as well.
I've only seen him in Superman, so
IMDb. Now I'm really curious, like when else he's. But that's nothing too. Like the trailer for Tenet came out for Nolan's new movie, and which looks awesome. But that stars. Oh my gosh, why did you list Aaron Taylor? They listed this person. I'm looking at the casting for Tenet, and for some reason they listed this one person up much higher than John David Washington, which is really weird. I guess they did alphabet because John David Washington is the main character in Tenet, but he's a good actor. I like him a lot too. He was in Black Klansman, but he's has like no credits at all. Mm-hmm. Like he's been in before that. He was in All Rise, Monsters and Men, Love Beats Rhymes, and then a TV short and uncredited, and then in 92. And that was like, so he's been in four things in 2018, and then I guess he was in Ballers. That's that rock TV show, right? On HBO?
No idea.
Yeah. Yeah, that's got that's
it. I don't know where you're going with this.
It's a TV show on HBO with The Rock called Ballers. And I guess
With The Rock, not about rocks. No. Called Ballers.
With gotcha. The Rock. He's in 47 episodes of that. So that's what he's doing is that. But before that I hadn't seen him in anything before BlacKkKlansman. And then he's in this. I'm like, this guy's gotta be in more movies. But who are we talking about? Henry Cavill. Let me look at Henry Cavill quick. Henry Cavill. I'm just curious what else he was in. Henry Cavill. I was like going to look up a name of someone and they pop up like 20 other people that have the same name, but it's like clearly not the people you want. Like, why are you giving me these returns? Cavill hasn't been a whole lot. I mean, he's been in stuff since 2001, but... Yeah, he hasn't been in much. He was Tristan and Isolde, or Isolde. I don't know.
Oh God, that movie was so bad. I remember it. Oh God, I'm dying.
Is that James Franco?
God, yeah. I killed Pizzy.
He's not the main person. That's James Franco joint.
It's fine. I'm just gonna die.
Yeah, Stardust. He's not a main person. That. He was in The Tudors. That was like the biggest one. That was 2000. That was a TV show. 2007, 2010. He was in The Tudors. I didn't watch that. That looks like a dramatic series about the reign and marriages of King Henry VIII.
Right? I remember that.
He was in Immortals. Yeah, because then Man of Steel is 2013. Man from U.N.C.L.E. I didn't see Sandcastle. And then Mission Impossible Fallout. And then he's in The Witcher. But
I will say, like, without spoilers, there's some stuff that's I think, and I didn't play. Did you play the first two games of The Witcher?
No, but I watched a story recap of the second game.
So I am not sure, but I think there's some stuff that they're introducing in the TV show that was never like a story that was explained in the game. So I think that part of the TV show is like recapping earlier games, but I think part of it is also like an original content thing. And I really wish I knew someone that was like really updated on Witcher lore, because I have no idea which stuff they're making up versus which stuff is actually like was canon before the TV show and is canon now, I guess.
Well, I thought they were only pulling from the books.
But then I read like a recap of one of the episodes after I watched it, where they're like, and it's great to see such and such story finally elaborated on and explained.
Well, does the first two Witchers pull more from the books than the third Witcher?
I think they're all, I think the first two were pretty close to the books, but I thought they all were somewhat based off of them. I know the third one deviates a little bit, but...
Well, I thought, like, the losing the memory between him and Yennefer in the second game, and I guess technically the first game as well, I thought that was, like, a made-up storyline. But I thought everything that happens in 3 is essentially, it's just, obviously, their story, not related to the books in any way. But I thought the first game and possibly the second had some influences. But, again,
Yeah, we'll have to talk about it after you've actually watched more, because it's tough to like talk about specifically what I'm thinking of without just straight up giving it away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, I look forward to watching more. I've seen good stuff online. Everybody's, of course, obviously, people aren't going to put the positive stuff online, retweet and all that stuff. But I did see one funny article or complaint that someone posted. I think it was on the subreddit of, not for The Witcher, but something, where like there was a review for it where the person who reviewed it only watched the first two episodes, jumped to the fifth episode, watched half of it, and then reviewed the whole series and said it was bad. and then I'm like, and everybody's, of course, oh, what the fuck is this person doing?
Those are interesting episodes to choose, too. So I'm up to 5. So just knowing what they chose and what they skipped is like, wow, you picked really, like, you picked very good ones to write a very bad review on.
Yeah, it's like, how much have you watched then? Have you seen a ton of the episodes?
I've seen 5 of the 8 episodes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'll look forward to watching it. But, because I also have a lot of other TV shows I got to watch too.
I'm enjoying it so far. I don't think it's the best show ever made, and it's obviously not Game of Thrones. It's much more lighthearted. Well, it's not lighthearted, but it's more low budget, I guess.
Lo-fi.
Yeah, but I'm still enjoying it.
Yeah. Yeah, they got to put more of their VFX budget into Lost in Space Season 2.
Oh, shit. I forgot that's coming out soon.
Yep. I'll watch that because I liked the first season. It was good.
That'd be
still got to finish Ozarks Season 2 as well. But yeah, I look forward to watching Witcher. It'll be fun. But all right. Well, I'll wrap it up for the TV cast. but yeah, thank you all for tuning and listening. Thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Zaya, for joining.
Yep.
And we will see you all next time.
Later.
Bye.